having Lila speak to us. And as I thought about how to introduce Lila, I had to admit that I know more about Lila from the good reputation that follows her wherever she goes. As I talked to my wife about this and her thoughts, she shared many of the verses that we find in Proverbs 31 that she would relate to Lila. And I picked out a couple that seem to fit both our descriptions of her. Reading Proverbs 31, 25, and 26. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And from a distance, from afar, from the casual involvement I've had, I would think she is a truly warm, a truly concerned individual about me. I've always got that feeling when I've had a chance to talk to her at coffee break or times during conference, that somehow I was very important to her. Lila is an experienced counselor and public speaker, and she is assisted in counseling and follow-up work at many Billy Graham crusades in the United States and in England. Many people seek her out personally for help because of that warm understanding that I was describing and her willingness to share from her own experience. From the very beginning of their married life, Lila and Dawson used their home as a training center for young people. And through their ministry, many of you and many of us have seen that example of turning homes into centers for Christian service.
Their choice. And so are you. Are you still able to say you're glad you're here? Are you? I am too. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad I'm here. And you know, as I sat here anew, anew tonight, I thought, every one of us in this room, every one of us, are here because of one person. You know who that is? Who? Well, that's a very good answer, but that isn't the one I had in mind. I didn't have the Lord Jesus in mind. I had Dawson Trotman. He was so gracious to include me in his prayer life. I got in such a habit of being awakened at 2, 3, and 4 a.m., month in, month out, year in and year out. Sweetheart, I don't have time to explain to you or share with you what's on my heart, but would you be willing to kneel in prayer and agree with me in prayer? I had no idea. Listen, I knew Dawson Trotman better than anyone else because of praying with him. I learned what made him tick. I learned what his disappointments were. I learned how God has spoken to him and what he was speaking to him about. I also received a vision of the world on my knees with Dawson Trotman. And on our knees, I can't tell you how many times we read the book of Jeremiah. That's how Jeremiah got, received his world vision. He didn't travel over 200 miles from home. And Jeremiah had a world vision, and he received it on his knees. And I got in such a habit of being awakened, I still do. At odd hours, many nights a week. And I always pray. I want to share something to begin with from my heart to yours, please. And it's from Romans 1, 8 to 12. Through 12. First, beloved, I thank God through Jesus Christ for you. And it says for you all. I'm a southerner and I love that. that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer. Making request, if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you, that I might impart unto you, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. And apart from Jesus Christ, beloved, you and I, we would amount to nothing. And so tonight, if God doesn't receive the glory and the honor in anything that is said by me, oh, I've missed the boat. And we have missed the boat. So let's look to Jesus. I've been having a tough week. I had a very tough 19 days during ICL because I was so emotionally involved. And I sat here and counted 36, I believe, 36 flags hanging around us from there, right on around, to there. And I think there was one or two there. I sat in the back usually so I could really see everyone and get the feel of perhaps what was in their heart and how they were responding. And I couldn't help but think of some from every tribe and nation. And as far as I'm concerned, we could have spent the whole 19 days listening to their testimonies. I will never be the same. I haven't been the same since that conference. Every life, every person that was there spoke volumes to my own life. I was rebuked by my own life. And I made some commitments to the Lord because of that conference. And so tonight, as I share some personal things about our life, I can't help but say I or we or me. So let's just think of Jesus. And I certainly can't think of anyone else but him when I share what he's done for me. I was 13 years old, and a girl ran over to me. I had been in morning Sunday school and church, and she said, Dawson Trotman would like to know if you would like a ride home. And I said, no, thank you. So I walked about a block, and here came a car and stopped with some girls in it and a man behind the wheel. And the man said to me, hop in. I'm taking all the unescorted girls home from church. So I got in. And it was Dawson Trotman, the wheel. He took everyone home, but me. I mean, I went last. And he said to me, are you a Christian? And I said, yes. He said, is that right? And I said, yes. I've gone to church all my life. I was 13, you know. He said, I didn't ask you if you were a church, and I asked you if you were a Christian. And I said, well, I've been baptized. And he says, well, I didn't ask if you were a Baptist. I asked if you were a Christian. I said, what is a Christian, Mr. Trotman? So he told me. And he had asked me in the meantime to please step out of the car and walk around on his side. He would not talk to a girl sitting beside him in the car. That's what he told me. And I actually wondered what was wrong with him. And proceeded to ask my father the next day. And Daddy informed me that all preachers were the same. You know. Anyway, that night, Dawson talked to me about faith. Mr. Trotman did. I did not call him Dawson. He talked to me about faith that night. And that I could accept Jesus as my personal Savior alone. And he gave me a little rundown of what I could say. if I wanted. And I couldn't go to sleep, and at 2 o'clock I knelt by the side of my bed, and I said, God, if there is a God, Mr. Trautman told me that I could ask you to come into my life and forgive me of my sin, and I could do this by faith. I don't think I know how to spell the word, but I will do this by faith, whatever that means. And I went to bed and went to sleep. And I think in about 2 weeks, I told Mr. Trautman what I had done when he brought me home from church. And 2 months before I was 14, Dawson Trautman said to me, would you like to be my girl? If you could have known my mother and father, and to think that I answered, if you are satisfied, I'm tickle pink. I came from a very strict home, but with love so thick that it was easy to slice in big hunks. Loved it. I loved it. After I told Dawson about my conversion, he put me in the book of Proverbs. You know, I hear a complaint in my travels on scripture memory and how tough it is. And I'd like to just inform you, but you don't know what toughness is. A chapter a day, a verse a day to memorize, a verse a day. He started me 5 minutes of prayer a day, and I asked my mother, I said, Mommy, what on earth do I pray about for 5 minutes? You know, I had no idea. Doesn't take but just a sentence or two to bless Mother and Daddy, and, you know, then it's over with. And I often thought, I made a huge mistake when I asked Dawson, what do I pray about for 5 minutes? Because I think a week later he was through talking. God gave you gray matter and he expects you to use it, Lila Clayton. So you think through on what you pray about, and that's what you pray about, you know. And then he just really lectured me for a while. It's a miracle that I ever stayed with this man. Really. And don't forget tonight, if you forget everything else, don't forget this. God has a plan for our lives, and he has a plan for yours. And it may be tough. Pay the price. Pay the price. Pay the price. It doesn't matter what it is. If God is in it, do it. It's costly to say yes to God, but it's far costlier to say no. Has God ever told you what to do, and you know what you're to do, but you delay in doing it? And did you pay a price? Bet your life you did. Delayed obedience is costly. Don't do it anymore. Take it from me. Don't do it. When I was 15 years old, Dawson asked me to marry him, May the 30th, 1929. He thought I was 17. And I couldn't answer him. I hadn't thought of such a thing, of course. I hadn't prayed about it or anything. So when he brought me home, he asked me again, and I said, well, I really haven't prayed about it, Dawson, and I just will have to pray about it. And I'll answer you tonight. So I remember walking up on our porch, and I took a hold of our door, the doorknob on our door, and I said, Lord, it would be nothing at all with you, not at all, if you just tell me right now. It was yes. So when Dawson came to get me, he asked me what the answer was. I said, you might not want to hear, and it'd be better if we just forgot about it. So we went on to church and decorated the church for whatever it was we were decorating it for, and he'd forgotten a jacket and at a certain place, and he needed to get it and asked me to go with him. We got around the side of the church, and just the other day, I made a videotape. I was asked a few weeks ago, not just the other day, just a few weeks back. I was in Southern California, and they videotaped the whole of the history of the Navigators. I don't think headquarters knows that, but we did. And I have legal rights to the videotape. My baby, they didn't know anything about it. It was actually November when I did it. And we had a crowd with us everywhere we went, looking for the movie star. But we went right around to the church, and Dawson stopped and said, "I'm not going another inch until you tell me what your answer is." And I said, "Well, it's yes." And it's been yes ever since. Glorious. Absolutely glorious. One of the, well, I often shudder to think what I would have missed if I had said no. And our courtship wasn't glamorous. We went together 5 years. It was tough and it was rugged. Dawson had given me 13 items as a new babe in Christ to check daily. Witness every day. Read a chapter every day. Pray every day. And on and on. And I didn't know any different. So it was either sink or swim, so I just swam. I had to keep a chart, and it was all checks against me. And Dawson said, I think you have the wrong check. I meant this check is for failure, and this check is for completion. I said, well, that's failure. That check right there, I failed. He said, you didn't, did you? And I said, yeah. And I was going through some of Dawson's things just recently, and there they are. These papers with all the check, and Dawson has them wrapped very carefully, and it says, please keep at any cost. And I burned them. Boy, my children aren't going to get those. You know? They know plenty. They can write a very warm, hot book if they wanted, so they don't need that. When I was 18 and a half, I graduated from high school, and 2 weeks later, we were married. 18 months later, our first child was born. 3 months before his birth, well, I should say March, the March before, actually, he was born in January, we met Lester Spencer. On the USS West Virginia, and Dawson worked with him 3 months. Then he brought over Gurney Harris. Both of these fellows were saved at the age of 9 and 11, and they joined the service to save their money to go to seminary. Gurney was backslidden at the time. Little did we think, you know, anything about worldwide anything, or a living room full of fellows, or. But I remember that about 2 years of our courtship, Dawson was trying to find God's will for his life's work. And I was in on that from the ground floor, fortunately for me. Because I saw him travail in prayer and travail in soul and mind and spirit, he was affected by it. And I often praise God, I did then, and I do now, for what I learned during those crucial months, knowing that I was going to play a part in this decision, or be a part of it. I often say, beloved gang, and you who are married will understand this, I think some of you will. I being in the way, God led Dawson Trotman, but I'm glad I was in the way. Bet your life. I am the richer by far. I know that I have a rich inheritance. I know that. And that the lines have fallen unto me. I know that only too well. And along with it, a tremendous responsibility. It takes every facet of my life. Every facet of my life. I was going to be married, which will surprise some of you, but I was. And we went for counsel to a very godly man, an older man. He was about 83 then. He's home with the Lord now. And he said, "Lila, darling, you could marry any man in the world but this one, the one I'm in love with." And I said, "Well, what's wrong with him or wrong with me?" "You serve a worldwide ministry, and he's been divorced. His wife died." So there's a price to pay. I'll pay it. Gladly I'll pay it. Because he pointed out to me that along the way someone could say, "Well, Lila did it. Well, Mrs. Trotman did it. Frank was divorced. Oh, sure, his wife was dead, but she married him. She could do it, I can do it." You see, costly. I think I was Dawson's very toughest Timothy, or Spencer, whatever you want to call it. In England, I think, don't they call us Spencer? Don't you call your Timothy that over there? Where did I pick it up on foreign soil? I thought it was England. Anyway, I was his, I think I was. We hadn't been married very long, and I'm going to tell on myself. I'm safe when I point my finger this way. We hadn't been married very long, and Dawson came in the kitchen and went over and adjusted the flame under the pot that I was cooking. And I said, are you doing the cooking or am I doing the cooking? Can you believe that? I would say that. I did. I said that. And he said to me, "Did it bother you?" I said, "Yes, bother me." And here's, now look at me. This is what Dawson Trotman did. He went. 6 weeks, Dawson went out of his way to come in my kitchen to adjust the flame. It never needed it after that first time. Artie, listen, beloved girls, listen in this room. Why didn't I thank Dawson for adjusting the fire the first time? Why? Pride. Sure. And listen, wives, you better be careful. It's the little things that affects our husbands, your husbands. And you know, early in the life of this man, I was challenged with this. Why don't you, sweetheart, be the godly woman that I can use, and it's hard for me to say it. As an example. Dawson and I studied this all of our married lives, and almost to the letter, every time we heard a man speak of a godly woman, he had to go in another city, another state, cross the pond, to a foreign country. Sometimes they were dead, had already died and gone home to be with the Lord, and they used them as an illustration for a godly woman. Well, we have some godly women in the Navigators. But Dawson challenged me, and as his wife. Well, girls, when I said yes to Dawson, or gang, beloved gang, when I said yes to Dawson, I really didn't know what was ahead. Neither did you if you said yes to your beloved and yes to God. And I'm glad that he kept some things from me. I'm glad that I didn't know that we would never live alone. You know, I married Dawson. I didn't marry the world, you know. I mean, that's what I thought. I have to be honest about it, you know. I didn't know that we would be moving so many times. I didn't know that we wouldn't have any privacy as man and wife in our home. I didn't know that. I didn't know that we'd have 5 children and that our 5th child would be an invalid. Just like a beautiful car without a motor, his brain didn't develop. Never knew us. I didn't know this. Glad I didn't. Aren't you glad you don't know what tomorrow holds? But beloved, we know who holds it. So let's just rest and thank him for whatever he sends. I'm also glad that I didn't know that we would be living with 10 grown women and 15 grown men at the same time. Have you ever lived with 10 grown women? Women, have you? At one time? Women? 10? And 15 grown men? We never had less than 12. For 4 years we had 30. It was actually 32, but we had 30. And when we moved here, we took count, Dawson and I, and our average was 25 a day. And isn't it good that the Lord keeps things from us? I'll always praise the Lord that he sent one girl at a time. He didn't just bring 10 girls and put them in like this. And I remember Margie Gould was the first girl. Remember Margie Gould, Betty? Margie Thompson was her name. We had 2 Margie Thompsons. And Margie Thompson, number 2, married Bill Gould in time, who died very suddenly, 6 weeks after the delivery of their 4th child many years ago. I can see Dawson getting in his car, leaving with Margie Gould, driving 27 miles from our home to his office in Los Angeles. I'm alone, taking care of children. I married Dawson. Margie didn't, you know. So the Lord had some work to do in my heart, and I had some lessons that I had to learn. I think my first year was the hardest. I quickly learned that I must learn my lessons quickly, because I wasn't going to spend all my married life learning the same lesson, because Dawson wasn't, he wasn't going to tolerate a problem boy. We had a glorious marriage. We had a foretaste of heaven in our marriage. Believe it or not, you can read the book and weep, but I want to tell you right now, our home life was heaven on earth. Betty lived with us, I think, 8 years. Bob Boardman's here. He lived with us. The girl he married was my helper. She lived with us, I think, 2.5 years. Bob Wilbraham's been on this property. He just left tonight. His wife was my helper, Margie. And she and Jean were at the same time. Lucille Sani was the girl that was trained in our home and my helper. Scotty's wife, Joan, lived in our home. Millie Hopkins. I tried to think through on who was here that lived in our home. And oftentimes when I speak to girls, I usually say, you don't have to run over your husband with a steam engine to kill him. Nor do you have to take a gun and shoot him. You can do it in a look. You know what I'm talking about? You just think through. You know you do. Yeah. Neither did I know when I said yes to Dawson that I would be alone. He would be traveling a great deal of the time. In 52, he was gone 10 months. The 2 oldest children saw him 2 weeks out of 52. Pioneering is costly. The children didn't ask to be born, and they paid a price. And I'm grateful tonight that I can stand here and say that they've counted now all joy. And I'm trusting the Lord before He takes me that I see my last child living and walking with the living God. She loves Him. It's our second daughter. She's tender toward Him. She sings about Him, but she doesn't live for Him. And all nine grandchildren, I have nine, 24 to 14, and one married. And they are all seven born again, and the twins are saved. They were saved at boys' camp. I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth. When I get to glory, I don't give account for too much, but I do have to give account for the children, and I have to do it alone for the past 24 years. And I'm very grateful for a ministry in our home. My girlfriend and I, my dearest girlfriend, Georgia Yoakum, and she still is, she and I prayed for a girl's work for me years and years and years ago. And when you think of a work among women, you think of going out from home, you know, to it. And God brought the girls into our home. That's where I had my girls' work, was in living day by day, hour by hour. They saw what I said. They heard what I said and heard what I didn't say. You know, you don't always... Silence. You know, there's many things in our lives, men and women, that we must get victory over and have victory in and live a victorious life. And one of them is being gracious. And gentleman, to me, a real gentleman is a gentle man. And that he can cry, too. That's your life. I don't think a man's a man until he's cried. Should have seen my sons when they heard me say that. One day Dawson said, Lila, would you read... every week we did a Bible study in our home, and we were all expected to be there. And he said, would you read... Betty, what did we call when we took a verse and it wasn't a summary of it. It was what did us call it? When we had to share the meat of the chapter or the Bible study. The what? It would be the same as the eminent truth. And Doss asked me to read mine, so I started reading it and got about halfway through. And Dawson said, may I see that sheet of paper? Yeah, you know. Wasn't on there. There wasn't anything on there. When I say I was his toughest trainee, or whatever you want to say, I mean. And with Dawson, you got away with nothing, you know. I want to hear... Betty Skinner can tell you just like, I want to, we're sitting at the table. I do not want anyone looking at their, he said, I don't want anyone looking at their memory pack. I don't want anyone opening in a New Testament. I just want to hear your last three verses that you've memorized this week. Always had to learn to tell a joke. Without saying the punchline first, you know. Every home we moved from and into was larger than the one before. And you heard about our little... We were living in this little motor court when the fellows asked us if we'd come to Point Furman in San Pedro, California, in Southern California, and get... They were renting this apartment so that... And we could have our first nav home. And that's exactly what we did. After we prayed much about it, we hadn't thought about it, really. And so that's where our first home was. First nav home. Our first nav home was actually a service station. And I cooked the dinner and took it down on the Model A Ford. And I was carrying our first child at the time. And I didn't know that the men were watching me like a hawk. I had no idea of it at all. I was 19 years old. And but they were, Gurney and Lester and John Dedrick. Lester Spencer went with the American Sunday School Union. Gurney Harris went with Africa Inland Mission. John Dedrick went down with a tribe in Mexico where he has spent his life translating the New Testament and portions of the Old. He's still alive. Gurney's home with the Lord. Virgil Hook is one of those. He missionary in the Orient. And Ed Goodrick was dean of men and taught Hebrew until he retired just a few weeks ago at Multnomah School of the Bible. And I could just go on and on. Jim Downing's one of those men. Many are home with the Lord today, but we worked on that one ship for a very long time. And my part in that was to have dinner and keep the home and the home fires burning, which, of course, I loved. I think if I have one gift at all, it's management. Lauren just has a fit when he hears me say this, but I don't think he's here. Hope. Anyway, he doesn't like to hear me. One day he asked me what my gifts were, and I says, my gifts? Gift. One gift. He said, what's that? And I said, management. And he said, you go back and think a while. And come up with a better answer than that. I know that's a gift, but he said, that is all your gifts. Well, that's my gift, and it's management, and I love it. I'd rather manage something than a lot of other things that I do, but I don't do that anymore because my ministry's changed completely. Along with our ministry, which we had in our home, and we had only servicemen for a very long, for several years, really. They went to sea for 7 months, and then that's when our work started spreading, and that's when Dawson started working with civilians. And it was a hard transition when the sailors got back, servicemen got returned home, because they felt that Dawson was wasting time. Jim Downing did wait on Dawson about having his fingers in, like helping Lila with housework and helping her with a newborn baby and doing the shopping and you fiddling around with the car and trying to get it, keep it in order. When there's a job to do and you're rambling in your message and messages and you're unprepared, he was about 2 or 2.5 years old as a Christian when he talked to Doss. Shook Doss, I mean it shook his foundation. But he came through in time and recovered and really produced. I'd like to skip a few years now and take you to, you've heard about, I think Betty alluded to it in her morning message, that our work, someone tried to tear our work apart or cut it in half at least. And I saw Dawson suffer for 2.5 years. During this 2.5 years, I was carrying a baby, and to have this fellow say to me, after he was born and we found out that he was permanently injured, to tell us to our face that we got exactly what we deserved. And I looked him in the eyes, and I said, you know, calling him by name, you couldn't be more right. It's exactly what God did. He gave it to the two that needed him the most. God sent this baby for several reasons, but I was the main one, I think. And I think if you had asked me 36, 37 years ago, he'd be 36 if he were living. If you'd asked me 37 years ago, Lila, do you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life? I perhaps would have said, yes, I think so. Do you? Do you know what the fruit of the Spirit is? And the way you and I hear it quoted is pretty much the way we hear John 3:16 quoted. For God's love, everybody gave his own God's son, who's there, you know. The fruit of the Spirit we hear it, love, joy, peace, you know. Now the fruit of the Spirit, Lila, make it personal. Anytime you read the word, just make it personal. The fruit of the Spirit, Lila, is love, joy, peace, short-suffering. Is it short-suffering? Is that what it says? What does it say? Pardon? Is it long? Well, I'd like to tell you it is long. It really is. So prepare yourself if you aren't prepared. Long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. And Dawson, here's what I want to tell you. The next word's temperance. Dawson says, you just, sweetheart, why don't you put balance in there? Why? Well, he had walked in one day and he said to me, sweetheart, why do you always say no to the children? And I said, oh, I think it's easy. I could answer. He was really surprised with my quick answer. He said, well, tell me about it. And I said, well, I don't want the responsibility that goes with saying yes. He said, like what? I said, well, Ruthie wants to go on a hay ride. And, you know, I'd heard then about all these hay rides, and I didn't want her going on that because I didn't want the responsibility of who went with it. And Dawson just said, why don't you just try saying yes? So I began saying yes. And about 2 years later, he said to me one day, don't you know how to say no to the children? You know what I thought? I didn't say it. I thought it. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I really did. So Dawson said to me, you know, you have to use balance with children, sweetheart. Sometimes it's yes and sometimes it's no. And I said, okay. So I said, would you help me, you know, asking for it the hard way? And he did. But balance. We need balance in our life. Take the fruit of the Spirit and compare it with Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Excuse me, that is the fruit of the Spirit. It's Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Compare it with Proverbs 6, 16 and 17, which is one of God's hate lists that's listed in the Word. And no one look at this, please, but what's the very first thing on God's hate list in Proverbs 6, 16 and 17? What? What? Haughty eyes before murder? I can't, I'm sorry. You don't remember, okay? Somebody else? I'm just provoking your thinking there. Come on, think with me. What is the very first thing on God's hate list? What? Before adultery? Pride before adultery? Come on, else. Come on. What else? Somebody else, give me one. Pardon? Lying? What do you think it is, gang? Pride. A proud look. That's what it says. Dawson took John, one of our fellows that was absolutely had pride so thick you could slice it. He put him in front of a mirror like this at our home. I'll never forget it. I was so young, too. And he had him just repeat, John, what do you have to be proud of? As he looks in the mirror, you know. For 15 minutes, he had to do that. So I was never, ever bothered with pride after that. I'm not going to stand in front of a mirror and say, Lila, what do you have to be proud of? A proud look, hands that shed innocent blood, there's your murderer. And what's the next thing? Pardon? Three times in the seven things that are an abomination to the Lord. That's exactly what it says. Have to do with our tongue. And listen, fellas, that includes you too. We hear a lot of it being a weakness of women, but it's a weakness of all of us from time to time if we aren't careful. Lying tongues, hands that be what? Slow? Feet that be slow? Turn to it. Proverbs 6, 16. Please turn to it. 6, 16. It's in the Old Testament, by the way. A proud look, lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imagination. Feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. And I'd like to use myself again as an example of, to tell you what I did wrong. 5 times, beloved gang, I got burned on the same subject. It had to do with my tongue. Now, why wouldn't I learn the first time? And it was talk, gossip. It's exactly what it was. And I'm very thankful that I can say that was years and years and years ago. Now, I have been burned since, but not on that subject. A fellow came to our home one day, and he said to Dawson, I did not hear him say this, but he said, your home isn't the same. There's something wrong in this home, in your house. It just, the spirit's gone. There's no love. So after he left, Dawson asked if he could talk with me, and he asked me about it. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. I knew I was at fault. I knew I was at fault. But I said, I have the slightest idea. Dawson Trotman, I didn't know it then, knew I was at fault when I said what I said. I not only was at fault for what this fellow said about our home, but I lied on top of that. See, God had a plan for my life, and he has a plan for yours. And there's a price that we have to pay. And not just on one thing. It's every facet of our lives. And God was getting me ready for the big haul. And when I said yes to Dawson, little did I dream that it was to do it without him. I'm glad I didn't know that. I really am. Because I think 5 years prior to his death, I wouldn't have had the testimony then that I had when he died. Never, ever substitute anything for growth, maturing. And all through the scriptures, we read that we're to grow up in Christ Jesus. Right? We're to grow. We're to grow in Christ. Sure, it's hard. Sure, it takes time. But I'm so grateful that I was taught and started teaching when Dawson started teaching me when I was first saved. I had 5 years before we were married of things in my life that would help me in temptation, that would help me in decision making. But after we were married, well, the last 15 years, Dawson put some training into my, very definite training into my life. And he asked me one day if I would see him after the children were to bed. This is 15 years before he died. This is the exact week he started training Lauren Sanny to take his place in lieu of his death. Not when he died, but in lieu of his death. Not if he died, but when God took him. We both received that last 15 years. His training was a lot different than mine. But it took me 6 weeks after Dawson presented this to me, and this is what he presented, gang. I'd like to so train you that if you found yourself on an island alone, you would not know what it would be like to have an hour of unbroken fellowship. Alone on an island. Never went anywhere. I had 5 reasons for staying home, and all of them children, plus a house full of people. And loved it. And it had been drilled in me, but good, blessed is she that standeth by the stuff. She shall share and share alike if she keeps her heart right. The second thing was, if you find yourself without the book, the Bible, or a book about the Bible, that you wouldn't know what it would be like, 15 or 20 minutes of unbroken fellowship, because I was memorizing the word. And Dawson was reviewing me, by the way. That's what held me, by the way. When God took Dawson was the word of God that I'd memorized and had been reviewing, and it was in my heart and in my life. That's what held me, really it was. It was the word of God. And the third thing is, if you find yourself without friends, a friend or friends, that you wouldn't even know what it'd be like to have unbroken fellowship. Well, now we had 509 live with us the last time we counted, before he presented this to me. And I thought, well, surely, now see what I'm doing? I'm rationalizing. Surely I have 100 friends out of the 500, and what does he mean without a Bible? If we have a Bible in every bathroom, we had 8 bathrooms. And we had a Bible in every bathroom and in every room in the house and in a car and on a person and, you know. And on an island alone, I never went anywhere. So it went, I don't want you to feel sorry for that. I'm just saying that. I just was home. I didn't know until after Dawson died that the public thought I was an invalid because they never saw us together. And then I could talk. I was still very quiet, but I talked. Well, it took me 6 weeks, and I called and told him I'd like to see him, and told him I was ready, and at any cost. And I knew it would. That's why it took me so long. I knew it would cost me. Have you ever had on-the-spot training? Now, that's what I mean, Lila. That's what I mean about exaggeration, you know. And I could hear a wife or wives here tonight or girls say, oh, phooey. He didn't marry you to train you. You don't have to take it. Well, I did. And I'm the richer today for it. You can call it what you will. You can, beloved girls and fellows. But you're in training. And I've never been out of training. And a fellow in the Glen who hasn't been here too long said, well, when do you finish your training? He said to me, when you're around the clear sky. I hadn't said anything to him at all. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, somebody told me you're still in training. Can't you learn, you know? He said, he went just like that. I said, well, there's something new to learn all the while. And I'm still in training. And I will be in training until God takes me home. I trust I will. The best definition that I know of humility is keeping teachable. And I've heard too much about older people. And I'm there now. Oh, I'm more than a senior citizen. They changed it to 50, you know. Well, I'm way above 50. And the night when Jerry Bridges was talking and he said that I'm a bearer of bad news? Remember? You know, that's where he said, I'm known, but that's my duty and I have to do it, you know, he said. Well, February, I received a letter from him. And as a result, I am on the pension plan of the Navigators and Social Security. Bearer of bad news? Not at all. I'll tell you why. Many years ago, I don't think I ever did change because Dawson and I never looked to the Navigators for money. We looked to the one who never changes, who supplied all our needs. And I do not want to get my eyes on a paycheck. I don't want to. I never have, and I never do want to, ever. I don't want to get my eyes on an individual thinking this is the way, you know. I want to keep my eyes on him. And we heard the other day about Dawson's faith and getting back to the faith of Dawson Trotman. And the first time I read Betty's book on Doss, that's exactly what I did. I confessed to the Lord I'd gotten away from the faith of Dawson Trotman. His faith was worn thin. And Dawson did not know how to spell can't. It can't be done. If you said to him that can't be done, he was up all night doing it. But he did it. So, gang, get your eyes on the one who made you in the first place, knows all about you. And if you don't believe it, I'll just quote something to you. Isaiah 43:1. But now thus saith the Lord unto you, who made you, who formed you, who redeemed you, who called you, and who called you by your name. Denoting, he knows you. He called you by your name. That's what it says. And then the last three, thou art mine. Isaiah 43:1. In the very heart of it, there are two words. Fear not. He made you. He formed you. He redeemed you. He called you by your name. And he says, don't be afraid. We have all kinds of fears. We really do. Well, we do. It's a natural thing. We just do. But God says, now I know you. The second verse says, and then when you pass through the waters, it means troubles. This is troubles now. Heartaches. Disappointments. I'll be with you. You won't drown. You won't even get wet. Next, through the fire, the latter part of the second verse, when you go through the fire. So, you know, have you ever had a desert experience? Well, since Dawson's death, I did. And as though that wasn't enough, I had a back side of the desert experience, and I didn't like it one bit. I liked the results. There was not a blade of grass. There wasn't a tree. There was no water. There was no pavement. It was just dirt. I felt nobody loved me. Nobody cared. Nobody knew whether I was living or dying. I actually went through that. I locked my front door, pulled my drapes, and for 5 months, that's where I stayed. Because I came to the crossroads in my life, and I shudder to think what would have happened to me, where I'd be today had I turned left instead of right. So I'm very grateful to the living God who only doeth wondrous things. And tonight, he wants all of you. And in the training that I received, everything reverted back to my heart. It's your heart, your heart, your heart, your heart, your heart. How's your heart? How is it? I'd like to give you a few verses. What time is breakfast? Proverbs 4:23. Above all, I guess I better put my glasses on. Don't wear them very often, but once in a while. Above all, let your God watch over your hearts, for out of it are the sources of life. Proverbs 4:23. Psalms 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Then I like 2 Chronicles 16:9. Somebody quote it, please. Real loud, please. Whose heart is what? Perfect. 1 Kings 8:61 says, get your heart therefore perfect before the Lord thy God. Know his statutes and keep his commandments. In essence, he's saying, Lila, get your heart right. Know the word of God. Know my word and just obey it. Sounds simple, doesn't it? If I live that one verse, beloved gang, that one verse, I could have victory every hour of every day, every week, every month of the year. Get your heart therefore perfect before the Lord thy God. Know his statutes and keep his commandments. And then I'd like to take you to 2 Chronicles 25:2. And she did that. That's what it says. She did that which was right in the sight of God, but not with a perfect heart. What does that mean? She did that, or he did that, which was right in the sight of God, but not with a perfect heart. What on earth is it talking about? Anyone want to venture an answer? No tons more and better than I do, I'm sure, every one of you. What is it, Bob? And she did that which was right in the sight. Do you know? Bob's secretary, Carla, can do just exactly what Bob requires of her. Dan's secretary can do the very same thing. And she could do it perfect. No better job could be done. But not with a perfect heart. I'll show him. I'm not gonna work overtime all the time like this. I'm just not going to do it. You know, there's other things. You know, I'm going to live. I'm young. You know, he can get somebody else. Your boss, the one you work for, the man over you. Please don't anyone answer or look around or anything. I just want to provoke you to think. Have you talked about him to someone else and you haven't told him? This is the fellow over you. Or your boss. Or your wife. And we carry out our duties as a wife and a husband. Yeah, oh yeah. And she says, Gerald, do you love me? Love you? What do you think I do? I give you this house. I give you my paycheck and I pay for the food, the grub, he usually says. And that's love? No. And he did that which was right, and I can do just exactly what God requires of me as a child of his, but not with a perfect heart. And if you haven't had a problem since you came on this property, you're a rarity. Bet your life. Maybe. Are you given to hospitality? Am I? About 22 hours before Dawson died, we were in a situation where we were in a home in Upper State, New York, and that's where he drowned. And the man called his wife to the door. And they were so excited. They said, oh, we've just longed to see you, and here you are. And they shook and hugged and everything, you know. And we spent a marvelous evening with these beloved friends. And they left. Well, we were there and we stayed. The threshold at the door wasn't cool yet. Till they had roast Mr. and Mrs. And Dawson's, I wondered if he was going to say something. Dawson says, just a minute. What are you saying? Oil and water doesn't mix, he said. You met them at the door and you greeted them and you were so happy to see them and you've been longing, da, 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 and now you're, goodness, there aren't even, the skeleton's almost eaten. What is your main problem? You aren't real, he said. You just aren't real. So he said, let's just go to our knees. So we all went to our knees, and Dawson asked them to pray first. Are you guilty of that? Has someone on the Glen you haven't liked their hairdo? Or his bald head? Or he's too tall, you can't see around him, over him, or you know? No kidding, we little tiny nothing. We make a lot out of it. We have a job to do, and it's a big job. And it's going to take every fiber of our being in obedience to the living God to carry out. the plan he has for our lives. And if we aren't careful, we waste an awful lot of time in pettiness. And there are two words that can rob you and me of real victory. One of them is things. A thing, something, things. Excuses. You and I can make an excuse for anything and everything we want to. Have you in your lifetime said, I don't have time for that. I just don't have time for that. No, I can't do it. I don't have time. You think about what you and I do. Let's think about it. You know, we take time to do what we want to do. Right? Is it what God wants us to do? Have you ever gotten in your car to do what you felt God wanted you to do and you've gotten down about 6 blocks and turned around and come back home? Have you ever done it? Just be sure, let's be sure that we're at the right place at the right time in God's timing. And beloved Jim Downing years ago taught me a lesson that I'll never forget, I don't think. As long as I have a memory, I hope I don't. He was a young Christian. When Jim Downing first came to our home, he was very proud. Religion was for old ladies and tiny kids. And he didn't need the Lord or anything to do with God. But when he found Christ, he was talking to our men. And he said, you know, the Christian life is very personal. Purse and all. And this is what he taught me that I have never forgotten. He dreamed that he died and went to heaven and that he was walking with the lovely Lord Jesus and he came to a huge big room, a huge room. And they went in. The Lord said, James, we want to go in here. And when Jim went in, he looked around and he saw all sizes of boxes and they were all, they all looked like they were all sealed. And on them he could see some printing, you know, and he kept looking around and he looked over here and he, James W. Downing, 1943. And he said, what's in that, Lord? And he said, Pablum, 1943. And Jim said, well, we needed that in 43, baby Pablum. He said, why didn't you ask? Went a little further and saw a bigger box. And he said, Lord Jesus, what's in this? He says, chairs, you know, this kind of chair, chairs. Jim said, what is the date on that? And he went over and looked and he says, well, Lord Jesus, we needed that. We were praying, you know, praying. You didn't get it because you didn't ask. You have not, James. You had not because you didn't ask. Isn't it true of us? We have not. And there's a verse in Scripture, it's Psalms 105:15 that I'm mortally afraid of. I rarely ever pray that I don't think about it. And God gave to her. To Lila, her request. But what? He sent what? Leanness to her soul. Be careful what you ask God for because you know He's in the habit of answering prayer. I'd like to share Isaiah 54:17 with you. Oftentimes our circumstance becomes our God. And God wants to be the God of that circumstance. Somebody talks about us, we go under. It's hard place to be in. When the finger's pointed at you and you're not guilty, but they say you're guilty. Well, I'd just like to give you this to comfort your heart tonight. And never forget it. And it's Isaiah 54:17. No weapon, beloved, that's formed against you will prosper. And any tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, God says, I will what? Condemn. No weapon. No tongue. Listen, he can't say no to a promise he's made. He can say no to us, to you and to me, but not to a promise. And don't forget that. And along with that, I'd like to give to you Acts 20:24. Let none of these things move you, beloved. And often I see someone move with just a little tiny wind. Just a little wind. I have two very close friends who have been walking with God I can't tell you how long. And a little wind blew into their living room recently. And both of them are off doctrinally today. And I'm the one that's off, they told me, when I went to see them to see if I couldn't pray with them. They wouldn't pray with me. Let none of these things move me, neither count my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy. What is my course? According to Acts 20:24. Testify what? So would you say it louder, please? Did you hear that? It's presenting the claims of a living God. That's what Acts 20:24 is. I'd like to read the letter in closing. We'll be out by 10:30. It's 9:20. This is from Billy Graham, and this has to do with Dawson's death, and it was written the next day after Dawson's death. He died the 18th of June in 1956, and I think you know he gave his life to save a girl whom he didn't know. His brother gave his life to save the life of his fiancée when Roland was 23 years old. So both of the boys gave their lives for another and died. Gave their life, I mean, for it. Dawson was 50 in March of 56. And the next day, he wrote this, and I received this while I was still at Scroon Lake. Dear Lila, Lauren has just informed us of the glorious victory in your own soul. Bless you. I knew that's the way you would take it. We can say with the psalmist, I know, O Lord, thy judgments are right. But the psalmist continues and says to us that are left behind. By the way, this is the first time I've ever read this in public. The psalmist, he's quoting now for us who are left behind. And I quote, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Certainly we feel his loss. The terrible impact of it will not be felt by his loved ones for several days or even weeks. However, I am sure the Lord will sustain you during the lonely hours flooded with so many memories of years spent with one of God's great servants. God gave to you a great privilege of living so closely to a giant in Israel. I am sure that you are grateful and thankful for these years you had laboring in the vineyard of the Lord together. When I think of Doss, I think of a man of great vision, courage, faith, and above all, personal discipline. I think if he taught me anything, he taught me something of the disciplined life that Paul had in mind when he said, I keep my body under. I never knew how much I would miss him, nor was I conscious of the depth of my love for Doss until Lorne broke the news to me yesterday afternoon. Sometimes we take each other for granted, and we don't realize what we will miss, what we mean to each other, until one is called home to heaven. I have not the slightest doubt that Doss's homegoing was planned in the council halls of the Trinity. What a glorious and dramatic way to go. It was almost like Elijah being translated. One moment swimming in the water, and in a split second in the presence of Christ. How glorious, wonderful, and triumphant. Now there are many practical considerations, problems that must be ironed out. The work that he began and he fostered and nourished and loved must be carried on. I pledge you my heart and my fellowship to the navigators. I told Lauren that I want to be considered a part of the organization to assist and help in any way to further the ministry of Dawson Troutman. How many lives he touched, no one will ever know. When spiritual history is recorded, I believe that he will have won more souls by far than I or any other evangelist of our time. He did it the right way. He trained others who in turn could train others who in turn could train others and develop a chain reaction that has touched almost every part of the world. Now this is a part, I had to read the whole thing so you could get the feel of it. Now this is the part that surprised me no end. And remember, no one had gone in space that we knew anything about before this. Now, how do we know but what? There are other planets that are inhabited, and God needed Dawson for some special task or a mission unknown to us. Can you possibly imagine what I felt like when I read that? Certainly, God must have felt that Lorne and others were now ready to take over these vast responsibilities of the Navigator organization. I have never seen Lorne grow. I have seen Lorne grow into great maturity. I have every confidence in his leadership. He learned well at Dawson's feet. In my opinion, he is the God-anointed successor to Dawson as the leader of the Navigators. We certainly must sustain him daily in our prayers. Lila, you've been a wonderful friend to us and a glorious companion to Doss. Now, for a few months or years, you are separated, but what a glorious reunion we are going to have at Jesus' feet. We shall meet certainly at the grand and glorious coronation of our Lord Jesus Christ. You and Doss will be there in hand in hand in resplendent white with crowns that Christ himself shall lay on your heads, forever reigning with our blessed Lord. What a prospect. What a future. What a hope. With prayerful affection, Billy Graham. Today, we have faithful men. Faithful men who can find. A faithful man, that's what the scripture says, who can find. And we have them. And here you are. And if I never see you again on this side, always remember to believe, just believe God. Just believe God. He means what he says, and he says what he means. And Jeremiah 32, 17, and then verse 27. Oh, Lord God, is there anything too hard for me? And 10 verses, no. No, no. There's nothing too hard for God. Nothing. And almost the last thing Dawson said to me shattered my innermost being almost. Dawson said, Lyle, sweetheart, he said, I want you to ask big of a big God. And this is what shattered me. I mean, it really did. If God doesn't have the answer, he can make it. You think about it. And I love you dearly.
Close in prayer, and then we'll go downstairs. Father, we think just that. Help us believe in you and in what you can do with us and in through us, what you want to do to our own lives. We just thank you for the picture that we have seen of one of your servants and the many lessons that you taught and brought along the way. Thank you for this opportunity to just hear this. Now we commit the rest of this evening to you. that we might have a moment for fellowship and just refreshment. In Jesus' name, amen.